AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat, and boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Welcome to a new episode of Five Aside. Today I'm here with Sam and Obe. I think someone's echoing in the background.
That's probably me. I'll turn off my mic.
Yeah, so I'm here with Sam and Obe today, and let's get right to it. Today we're gonna start with Champions League, since that's the freshest thing in our brains right now, and there are some mad games this week. I will also touch on the last weekend of Premier League, as well as managers who might get sacked, who might not get sacked. But yeah, what games do you guys watch today? Because me, I watched the City game.
Yeah, I followed the Barca one like later in the second half. I didn't really watch much of the first half, but it looks like Rashford is, you know, this was the time to really shine, and he took advantage of it. I did actually get Sam's joke initially in the chat where you dropped that you needed home cooked food. Because I was thinking the same thing, and then I was like, oh, after like 20 minutes after, I was like, oh, it's coming to Newcastle. That was the joke. I have to go back to go and laugh at it. But yeah, this was Rashford.
Pentium one.
Yeah. I actually have a trivia related to that. So who else? So he's the second Englishman to score 2 goals
against, in the Champions League?
Against an English opposition. Second Englishman to score 2 goals against English opposition.
First is Harry Kane.
what kind of terrible trivia is that? What kind of terrible trivia is that?
Okay, all time. I think it's fourth or third. All time.
Really? Yeah, I wasn't surprised. I knew this was kind of like a fixture that he should do well in. Newcastle actually played well. I was supporting them in the first half, like from the jump. But then when Barca scored like this, I was like, okay, it's over. But Newcastle, it didn't seem like they played too badly. I think Barca was missing Yamal too. But as expected.
I watched like bits and pieces of it. It looked like... So there's an avid Newcastle fan in one of my group chats, and very heavy bad belly. So right off the bat, I was like, yeah, I want them Newcastle to lose. Then I now remember that the only club that I hate more than Manchester United is, or hate as much as Manchester United is Barcelona. I was like, oh, wait. I'm confused. But what we're talking about was the lineup. I think he did the lineup. I was asking him like why Eddie Howe set that up, because Newcastle look very impotent when they start Anthony Gordon as a 9, right? Now, that's for obvious reasons, because Isaac left, and apparently Walter Mader was kind of like tired from last week, so he couldn't play, like he couldn't really start. That was the reasoning behind it. I don't know why they started Jacob Elanga, right? Because Jacob Murphy has been on a very good run of form, even since last season. And even the last game they played itself, he's the one that gave Walter Mada the assist. So in my head, he was going to start. But then, funny enough, Elanga actually played well, and he was even their most threatening person till they took him off. So, mm-hmm. Eddie Howe, it just seemed like he, combination of like fitness and tactics, I was like, you could have done more than what it is that you put out. But Barcelona were not going to be repressed for like 90 minutes. Like, there's almost just no way, like this current version of them. There's almost no way they were going to go 90 minutes without scoring.
That keeper is really good.
Yeah. The Garcia guy.
Yeah, he's really, really good. And I heard this guy, someone signed him, Arteta, previously.
Arteta wants to sign the whole Spanish squad. Just bring them to Arsenal, because at this point, well.
Yeah. Did any of you catch the Liverpool game?
I watched the Liverpool game yesterday now.
I didn't watch it. I saw the highlights, but I didn't watch the game.
I started watching it when I was watching it when it became like when they went 2 goals up. I was like, yeah, I said focusing on Juventus, which was a more interesting game. But when Atletico Madrid came back 2-2, I was like, okay, maybe something interesting might be happening here.
You're looking for that 2019 hate watch. That Liverpool Atletico, that was one of the greatest hate watches I've seen. And I don't even know why, because I didn't really care if Liverpool went through, but it seemed like the whole world was kind of like tired of Liverpool's bullshit that year. Like, people were just like tired. Like, that Morata finish, that, you know, that.
I always hate watch Liverpool in Champions League. The only time I've supported Liverpool has only been in Premier League during that City Club Guardiola era, kind of. But in Champions League.
And even in Champions League too, yeah. That's probably the only time I would support Liverpool is when I see Pep.
It's funny because I supported City versus Liverpool. I supported City in Champions League, but in Premier League, I supported Liverpool.
There's no way I see Pep now.
I wanted Pep.
Unless it's playing Man United, and then I'm like, there.
Yeah, I wanted Pep to win that one. You see,
Pep, I can't lie, because hitting against Pep, you just do yourself. Yourself, man. I don't like to stress myself. I already have Arsenal to stress with.
Anyway,
start hate watching Pep, I beg.
The City game. Now, Haaland.
The question you were asking, sorry, was that is this a champion's mentality or is this unsustainable?
Yes, with Liverpool. I don't know at this point, man, because I've not seen a team do what they are currently doing for these mini games, 5 games in a row, back to back to back to back to back. The closest thing I can think of is Leverkusen last season. They had so many games where they just nicked a draw, or like when during their
own business. That Leverkusen juju or something else, man.
It was something.
It was like 50 games. I was just like, guy, every blessed end.
They had so many last minutes.
It doesn't matter if it was like 3-0 that they are down and it's 90 minutes. Magic will just happen.
Yeah,
and obviously this is an exaggeration, but you get what I mean.
But in their own run, at least maybe the next game. I know it became crazy towards the end of the season, but they will still kind of like dominate some games and like win 2-0, 3-0. But back to back 5-0, that's actually kind of weird.
No, I mean, I think Arsenal fans are hate watching for their own personal reasons. Like there are a couple of Arsenal fans in my group chat that are always watching Liverpool games. One of my guys he doesn't even watch Arteta games again. He's just waiting for Liverpool to just drop points, which I feel like it will eventually happen. This is not sustainable at all. And the goals they concede, they are not even worldies. They are conceding very like very very like scrappy, funny looking goals. Mm-hmm. So you know that at some point, you know, it's not going to pan out for them. The only problem is that Arsenal might also drop points too when. Did Liverpool drop points? I will say this is like the most complete I have seen you guys. This is a side note from the Liverpool thing. I'm not trying to change the conversation, but I was looking at the squad list, at the squad. You guys, I think you guys did your annual picture. Everybody does their annual picture. Mm-hmm. And I looked at the squad and I was like, damn, this might be the most complete I've seen you guys in like years. The talent level ranges from very good to okay. There's nobody below okay or bad. Like, the weakest link might be maybe this guy from Brentford, Neugard, or whatever, or like Zubimendi in physicality, because he does seem like they get past him a bit too easily for me personally. But there's everybody, like the talent level is from very good to okay, let me give world class, like for the defense, right? Talent level ranges from world class to okay. Like the low ceiling is the floor is okay. There's no like below average or like bad. The floor is like okay. It's an okay player.
So I agree with that.
That's very good, solid recruitment. At least on paper.
The mere fact that we've been winning without Odegaard, Saka, and Saliba, which was probably impossible seasons.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about injuries this season. And that's why I was just about those fans that were like, oh, why did Arsenal, still on the Champions League talk, but why did Arteta start Eze and Eze didn't look as good? I'm like, Eze did not come here to be the star boy or to be the golden goose of the team. He came here to be part of the team. And I'd rather my team have like a good structure to where you can rotate people in and out and everybody gets the fighting chance. Mm-hmm. As opposed to having to depend on one star player and then the player injures and then your season is upside down. I beg.
Let's go back to that Liverpool match versus Atletico Madrid. The thing I would say why I'm not really as annoyed as annoyed in this game as I was, let's say, against Newcastle or against Burnley, is that I actually personally felt Liverpool deserved to win. They destroyed Atletico Madrid early in the first half, at least. They missed so many good chances. Like Salah missed an empty post and hit the bar. Atletico Madrid, I don't know what's up with them. And they've also been struggling in La Liga. They are barely winning any games.
Yeah, anybody that's watched La Liga has known will know that
Atletico. Yeah, they are struggling. I think that this guy's also losing his head, low-key. That's Simeone.
Oh, yeah, I heard he got in a fight.
Yeah, I mean, apparently someone was being racist or whatever towards him.
Racist?
It's interesting, yeah. So I actually hear what they were saying. They kept insulting him throughout the game, 90 minutes.
That's
why the reporter asked him. So
against him too. Anybody can be racist against anybody.
I think the reporters asked him about like someone like say things like relating to
racism. Him. Doesn't know color.
So the reporter asked him if someone said something relating to his like Argentine roots, and he got mad and he walked out, something like that. But
I see.
So maybe that was the racism or ethnic, you know, insults came from.
Did you feel as though Isaac showed enough to warrant a start, or should they just keep starting with
Ekitike? When Isaac starts starting the league, I think he will start starting, except if he plays badly. But they're not going to spend that much money on someone and keep him on the bench.
But they spent a lot of money on Ekitike talk.
Yeah,
but they will actually have their starting team, because I'm thinking, would it be Gakpo, Isak, and Salah as the front three? Or would Egetike start on... I don't think they will bench Gakpo also. So I think the only person that they will most probably bench will probably be Egetike at the end of the day.
Based on form,
because Slot was a bit right. Like last season, he was rotating him and Luis Diaz a lot.
True.
Gakpo and Diaz. Now, obviously, different styles, different profiles, so he might not end up getting
better. Diaz was more of a pure left winger. If anything, Gakpo is a striker. That's what I thought it was they started playing him on the left wing.
Funny enough, Diaz played 9 a lot last season.
Yeah, he did. But that's just because his productivity was not. I think that's the problem. For Liverpool fans and Diaz, they always say, like, since he got that his major injury, just something didn't land anymore.
That's so weird, because he still looks good to me, Sha. He could still run, he could still physically.
I think that for me, right, I think the scouting and the profiling of Diaz was, as a replacement for Mane, was damn near perfect. Like, this was like when he came in, he went like band for band. This is like proper data analytics at work. This is not like eye test type of shit. Like, this is like they measured and they checked everything, and this guy fits like the profile.
I think they do for Mandueke apparently.
Saka?
No, Madueke.
But as what though? As who?
As a right wing.
As a right wing for Martinelli.
As a right wing, as a winger, Shah, because they looked at his his dribbles, a lot of data. Apparently, a lot of data analysis went into Madueke.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about Madueke and the Saka
thing. No, change topic.
No. Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Enough. Anyways, I was saying about Liverpool, right? Yeah. I think I agree with Okwe. It might be Ekitike that might suffer from it because he's not really like a left guy. So Gakpo might play. And then.
Yeah. And if anything, Gakpo makes more.
I do think that there should be a conversation. And I know like the docket you have like Isaac versus Ekitike. But I personally, like, without bias, I have a very, very serious problem with Florian Wirtz.
That's what I was going to say.
Very, very serious. And the thing is, right, Liverpool fans are like, give him time, blah, blah, blah. The bias part of me be like, you people didn't even allow Caicedo to drink water and drop cup.
Like, but hold on, Wirtz, though. On Wirtz.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
His words didn't look bad versus this thing. I think he's had a slow start, but I think so far, I think he's still improving. Like, we have not seen him fully gel, but it seems like there is progress. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
because it's like, from his first game to what he played versus Atletico, even though for Salah missing, I think I watch the highlights now. Like, he had two assists there.
You have gotten
two assists there easily. Like, if Salah finishes his chances.
I think for me, right, I watched him a lot at Leverkusen, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, I watched him in Bundesliga. I watched him in the Europa League, too. Like, and I watched him for Germany, which was, I think, was more of a better litmus test for me. And the stats, my eye test is obviously saying this is way underperform. This is a big underperformer.
Yes.
There are statistics, like, you know, when you know, like, the player stats and they do, like, the, you know, the hexagon and stuff for all your attributes and, like, you know, key passes, tackles. Mm-hmm. His current one compared to his last season, or not, like, two seasons ago or before his ACL. Last season alone, every single action is exponentially less in Liverpool than now. Right, and I'm not going to give you this thing as a Chelsea fan.
Can I answer that?
Wait, hold on first. Let me make a point. Let me just quickly say this part. I know what it is that, and I ultimately by game week 30, I might be wrong, and he's leading assist and goal charts or whatever, right? And he's back to his best, right? Mm-hmm. But in the now, I see the exact same thing that I saw with Havertz at Chelsea, mm-hmm. his first season. I see the exact same thing that I saw with Fernando Torres way back when, right? It's those things where you are giving potential, like world-class players, right? Or supposed world-class players, or world-class talent. You are collecting crumbs as levels for improvement, as opposed to like, yo, everything is supposed to be going through you. Like if you watch Havertz's Leverkusen clips, you will not believe what you are seeing. Like, I'm not, and I know he's still doing okay for Arsenal. Mm-hmm. Very sorry, Luton. I'm not saying he's a flop. But the level of talent and performance to what you are seeing now is literally a 150 million player. The same thing with Wirtz. The level of production and talent you saw at Leverkusen warrants that money. The level of talent and production now, right? Yes, he could have had an assist. Yes, he probably will get an assist or a goal. But you don't understand. It's like, Wirtz is like was supposed to be like, it's kind of like Yamal, where everything is going through him. Like, and that was the only reason that made me stop hate watching like Yamal last season. Is when I watched that Inter Milan game. He didn't score. I don't think he scored. But you could just see that the whole field is tilting towards him. Opponents are going there. His mates are going there. Like, there's a gravity towards him. And that is what Wirtz is beyond beyond the assists and goals, which will come because Liverpool will be a successful team, right? Mm-hmm. It's that gravity. And that's why I'm not going to buy an assist here, a cross that Van Dijk will head somewhere, or a Salah this. Because I did it a lot with Havertz. I gave him those. So when Havertz gives me a goal, or Havertz will score a hat-trick against a lower league opposition, like I think Havertz's first hat-trick for Chelsea was it in either FA Cup or Carling Cup or somewhere. Like those things, you are collecting those scraps. That hat-trick that I'm looking for it against Man U, looking for it against Arsenal, those things. But those
I see your point, Cha.
That's my own.
It's a good point, and I agree with that part. Like maybe definitely the cost was not warranted.
That's true.
And that's the only reason why we are saying all this. If the ball works for 800 million, people will be saying, "Oh, send them another 100, send them another 100. But having that price tag, definitely, I would expect you to come into a team and be their main guy. But now with Liverpool, we're talking about they Salah. Now they bought somebody that is even a bigger distance than West now, technically, which is Isak. So it's like you have three of those players that is like, oh, give me the ball. The play is supposed to be tilting towards me. There will have to be balance. You can't give only one person the ball. The ball will have to move through different things. And I think that's a good thing about scary thing about Liverpool is that they have all these like world-class people that you sometimes don't even take note of. And all they need, and in different games, that's when I think their specialties will come out. There are some games where Isak, it will be perfect for Isak. And there are some games where it will be perfect for Salah. And maybe not every game, but we'll see. We'll see how it turns out. I don't want him to play well, Shaq.
I think you can kind of took the words out of my mouth, actually. Well, what I was going to say about the whole like gravity thing, I agree with you. That's the biggest difference I've noticed between him, Wertz in Leverkusen, and Wertz in Liverpool right now. In Leverkusen, I don't think he had to overthink anything. He just like balled. Like everything was going through him. He was obviously their best player. Everybody kept trying to find him to create the chance or score the goal, whatever. Like he was the main man. And you will see him dribble, even like attempt ridiculous skills. Like he would just do anything he wanted to do. And he kept appearing in different pockets of space in Leverkusen. He was not restricted to any area. Mm-hmm. But I think in Liverpool, I think he's still trying to like maybe find his space within their team or their structure and their tactics. I don't think you can clearly see he's making only simple decisions. He doesn't try to overcomplicate anything. And I think that's taken out of his game. Maybe at some point he might stop doing that, but right now, you used to see when he gets the ball, his first thing is to pass to somebody. Pass. He's not trying anything crazy at all. Yeah. So he's probably just being too careful. I look, he sends something a bit similar self, but maybe it's just the occasion with Ez in the last game. It seemed like he was just trying to make sure he got every pass correct. So I'm like, guy, do something.
I have an easy theory, which is very annoys me too. And it was from his Crystal Palace days. But yeah. I'll stay on topic. Maybe too, we're talking about.
Yeah, but I think Wertz is definitely not looking like the Wertz we saw. But he's probably has something to do with just adjustment period. That's literally it. And he's also improving small, like Ope suggested. I can see the improvement a little bit, but he's very far. It's very far from
my like, I'm telling you, like that hexagon, right? You show maybe like
I don't need to see it. Like
his own, like I mean, the eye test, we all can see it, right?
Yeah.
But then every single facet of his game is exponentially smaller, right? And the reason why, again, I'm telling you, it's really not because of bias and how they were.
It's like Neymar became Richarlison. It's like me, I became Richarlison.
Yeah, like the thing is that okay, on the ball, right? Liverpool, they don't defer to Salah, mm-hmm. right? They actually don't. When Trent was there, Trent was like every team has that, like every good team has like their technical leader, right? Yeah. It doesn't have to be the leader or captain or even the star boy, but mm-hmm. that's the person that the ball flows to. For mm-hmm. Arsenal, it's obviously Saka. Mm-hmm. You guys have a serious lopsided problem. Now, not now anymore, right? Which is great, which is very, very great. But the person that the ball is going to when we don't really know what we're doing. Ball is going to
Saka. Yeah.
For Liverpool, it's actually Trent. It was actually Trent. For all his flaws as a right back, he is the technical leader of the body. He's the one that is entrusted to make that risky pass. That doesn't take away anything from Salah and Van Dijk and what their own leadership qualities or whatnot. But like when the ball is like to be ticked around, okay, let's get something flowing. That ball is going to Trent's leg. It just happens that way. For Barca, right? Yeah. When they are really, it's usually two people, but in the midfield is Pedri. Like the ball is going to Pedri's leg. Like anyhow you want Duan, that ball is reaching his leg, right? Yeah. So everybody has their own technical leader. For us, for Chelsea, right? It's obvious. It's Cole Palmer. It's Cole Palmer. So
I said that will give him every time.
That's why I'm like I'm a bit more critical of him, because even if you're not producing goals and assists, guy, I want when the midfielder is confused, they're looking for you. Like the defender doesn't know where to play that ball. Give me that ball. Like that's actually what I'm looking for. Not even the numbers. He will get his goals and assists. Like that.
Yeah, Salah mostly stays out of the game. These days, I see them finding Gakpo a lot.
Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Salah isn't the technical leader of the team. He isn't. And he hasn't been for a while.
Yeah, but he's the finisher. He's the one that you're trying to find at the end of every distance.
At the end,
he's actually looking more like the guy in midfield for Liverpool. And even Gravenberg, man.
Gravenberg and McAllister, they look.
I mean, who's saying Szoboszlai, bro? I think Szoboszlai.
You see why this is bad? Because we have named three different names it's typically one obvious name that should be, and it's not. We're naming Szoboszlai, we're yelling Gravenberg, McAllister, if he be Curtis Jones, but the fact that it's not the name that we are saying, none of us are saying that name. That's the problem. That's my point right there. That's where I would drop it for this whole Liverpool.
Anyway,
that's
my point right there. They destroyed Atletico Madrid. I think they deserve to win, but I was sad. I thought Atletico Madrid have done something for me. That's cool.
But what about the Chelsea game?
Chelsea actually played well. I don't think Neto and this guy were at their best. Neto and Enzo.
Which depends. There are two Chelsea games. Are you talking about the Premier League or the Champions League? Which one do you want?
What did you guys play in the Premier League, sir?
We drew 2-2.
Let me make it this thing. You see, that Burnley Liverpool match pissed me a lot way more than the Champions League match. Okay, it could be for many reasons, because that's not me. But that match, I felt Burnley deserved something. With this Atletico Madrid match, I felt
Liverpool deserved to win. Yeah.
For Chelsea, the Brentford versus I don't understand what Chelsea did in that game, I'm not lying. But actually, the Bayern loss, I think they played better, in my opinion.
They did not play better.
Actually, just played okay against Bayern. They looked like a threat.
Caicedo looked off in that game, bro. I don't know what Mars was on. Cucurella looked scared. Oh my god! I saw Ulisse was doing to Cucurella. I was like, this is the best left back in the world.
I kind of knew that was going to be said, and I prepped for this. So I'll let you guys get your point, and I'll agree or debunk some of them.
I'll just say like it's very obvious that Chelsea looks different without Cole Palmer, and now that Cole Palmer is back, definitely you can even see when they subbed him on. That was when you guys got the goal. He got the second offside cancellation goal, but you can obviously see, like,
are you talking of the Burnley game?
Wait, in Bayern match, didn't he start?
He played in the 90 minutes for Bayern.
Yeah, he played 90 for Bayern.
You're thinking about the Burnley game. He came on in the Burnley game.
That's what I was going to say. So, with the Burnley game for me, Chelsea.
So, for Bayern game, and then he was running up and down. Hold on, let me.
The Bayern game, he played 90 minutes. He didn't.
Oh, he did play 90 minutes. So, he just looked more sharp at some point in the game. I can't remember maybe when you guys made your 60-minute subs that he looked extra sharp. Or maybe he was just missing in the first half then. That I did see him. But,
he scored in the first half.
He scored in the first. I guess maybe I'm mixing it.
Yeah, I think you're confusing the two games.
Yeah, I'm
because mixing your points are holding in one game, but they're not holding in the other game.
So let me just say one thing. For that Brentford game, the first half, Chelsea looked awful. They looked awful in the first half. The second half, I mean, when they made the changes and brought in Rhys James, brought in Cole Palmer, they stepped things off up like up a gear. I even thought they might even end up winning. But yeah, so that it was completely two different halves.
Agreed.
And it was a draw, you know. I loved it. Mm-hmm. It was a successful hit watch. Only successful hit watch.
Yeah, you had a great week hitting on Chelsea. If your plan was to hit on Chelsea, this is a great week. The Bayern one.
I felt you guys had a chance to win. Again, maybe why I felt it was better because it was Bayern and that was Brentford. So, I mean, it's Bayern, Brentford, different levels.
Mm-hmm.
So, the first half, you guys didn't. Honestly, I always felt Chelsea would score whenever they were attacking. So I was worried. Maybe because I was hate watching. Maybe that's why I was worried. Because I wanted Bayern to win. Mm-hmm. This guy played really well, Odyssey. He played really well. But I think Kukurela tried. I don't think it was as bad as people tried to make it seem. I think he tried more. But I think Kukurela actually tried against him.
Oh, I mean, Kukurela, like, obviously, it's not like Olise cooked him the entire time, but I just kind of expected more.
Olise did not get past Kukurela once in that game. Not even once.
I mean, I'm not missing when they needed him in his position.
Olise
dropped an assist now.
Let me clear it up for you.
I can't blame Kukurela's defending because I think Kukurela actually did a pretty good job. But I think Olise was still doing.
Okay, let me let you finish. Then I'll
yeah. I was very impressed with Cole Palmer. Maybe that was why I felt Chelsea did well, specifically him. But Enzo and Neto, especially Neto, seemed off. It's like Neto was scared to shoot for some reason.
Neto, that's probably.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Probably his worst Chelsea game I have seen.
Yeah, he was not good.
Probably.
I said, though, I didn't really notice whether or not Casino played well, to be honest. But Bayern, Harry Kane, oh my goodness. Harry Kane, Olise, and Palmer were my three best players that I watched on the day.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's my takes on Chelsea so far. So I thought they tried, but I mean, it is what it is. Champions League is not a conference league, so.
Fair. So this is my own. This is for the two games, right?
Yeah.
So the Brentford game was the game started off like with rotations, right? We rotated a lot of. Chelsea are dealing with like fatigue for obvious reasons, so they rotated a lot of the players for the Brentford game. Buenanotte started. We played for Fana as the right back, you know. There are a lot of like changes. We played Hato. Kukurela didn't even start the Brentford game. There are a lot of changes in the game because Chelsea were trying to keep freshness, keep energy levels, and with this Bayern game in mind. Now that didn't go according to plan, and we have a centre back issue, but we've had this since the beginning of season. The problem is that the sporting directors have centre backs that they've bought that need like a year or two in development, right? So they're scared of replacing Colwill or buying a substitute for Colwill for the season because when he does eventually come back, and then the centre backs that they have on loan, Saar in Strasbourg and Anselmino in Dortmund, they will eventually like have to compete for a lot of places. Now, so because of that, they're like, okay, let's just do we have and we hold, you know, Joshua Champong, Tosin, and Chaloba. Of course, Fofana too is there as well, and Badia Shile. So they are trying to like go with what they have. The problem with that is that these center backs are good squad players, but they are not elite starters, at least not for a club like Chelsea. At least they are not yet. So that's the problem. So we're always going to be susceptible to like our defense. Or susceptible in our defense. So when the first half didn't go well, everybody now, you know, we brought Cole Palmer, Rhys James, you know, all hands on deck, and then we now started playing well. Scored two goals, but, you know, eventually the defense gave way. I do think there's an argument for offside because Ouattara was offside when they headed the ball, and he blocks. He actually tries to kick the ball and interferes with the play, Boris James. But Yes, he was in an offside position. Rich James couldn't clear the ball because Ouattara tried to play the ball. And it's actually argumentative that it's offside. But Chelsea fans can't really say that because the 2 weeks before, they were shouting, oh, Fulham, this thing. So we have to chop whatever it is they give us. Fine. Fair. The Bayern Munich game now was a different kettle of fish. I hear what you're saying about, like, Chelsea, you know, they played well. They didn't play better than the Brentford game, right? They didn't play better. Not to me.
Second half or first half, Brentford?
The whole game. Even the first half, Brentford was like 50-50. Like, we didn't play badly. We just got scored on. But the Bayern Munich game, yes, you're right. There were nerves. Caicedo was nervous. Cucurella could have been better. But Cucurella, like, two things can be true. Olise had a wonderful game. Like, if you watch him, he had a wonderful game. But he did not cook Cucurella at all. That did not happen. In fact, he could have even gotten a red card because he legit pushed Cucurella and they didn't give him a card. And then he fouled him twice, then eventually got a yellow card. So yeah, he could Cucurella have legit
for Bansha because
he did not this is not subjective, it's factual. There is no stat that he beats Cucurella. The assist he had, he beats João Pedro, not Cucurella.
Right.
So that was good. It wasn't. Again, when that free kick was taken, right, the ball hits the referee, right, and the referee is supposed to stop the game, right, and he did. But you are supposed to slow it down since you interrupted the flow of the game. You're supposed to slow it down so that, like, everybody gets in position. Because of that, right, you know, Bayern took advantage of that. And fair play, that's how football is. If you slip, they will catch you. Right, so that was why Cucurella was out of place. But throughout the rest of the game, he did not cook him at all.
I won't say. Let me not say cook him, but
wait. Let me.
Oh yeah, finish. Sorry.
Let me quickly land the plane. I don't think we played well because a lot of these players, they don't have experience in this position. Like, almost every single player. In fact, only Fofana, Reece James, and Enzo have, like, experience playing for Chelsea in the Champions League. And Chalobah, too.
And Caicedo.
Caicedo has not played in the Champions League for Chelsea.
He hasn't.
No, there's no player other than those three or four have touched a ball in the Champions League for Chelsea. So there are a lot of nerves. There were a lot of, like, half and halves. Like, people were, like, a bit confused, right? The reason why I don't think it was a good game, and I know, like, Bayern did not really, they created good chances. They created one really good chance, right? But all three of their goals were from Chelsea mistakes, which is fair. They still outplayed Chelsea. All three of their goals were from Chelsea mistakes. That is true. The first goal was an own goal. The second goal was a penalty. The third goal was Gusto giving Harry Kane a true pass. All three of their goals were. But that's not an excuse. No, hold on. Don't worry. That's not an excuse. They outplayed us. They outfought us. They outran us. They outpassed us. They created more chances. They had more expected goals. They deserve to win well. The reason why I don't think it was a good game for Chelsea is that even at the 65th minute, when a team starts doing you ole, 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 it's like FIFA. When they don't already, like, popo you, like, anything you're doing from there is plus or minus. Like, and I think that a good part of that was because of fatigue, inexperience, and even Maresca too. He's his first Champions League game as a coach. Because he would know that Champions League matches can go away like this, like, really quick. He could have made changes earlier, and he didn't. And fatigue played a very, very, very big role in this. So this is where, that's why when you say this no be Conference League, 120, it's banter, but it's 120% right. You can do this thing in Champions League against Noah and Kilimanjaro FC, and you fly. But in the Champions League, the game goes away from you like this. I don't think it was a good game because we were outfought. They were bypassing our press, and they have a lot of injury problems. They were bypassing our press too easily. I could see they were bypassing. Conrad Lima, who I don't rate, was bypassing our press. No, that is not done. Any other big team will go band for band with Bayern. I think Chelsea were a bit inexperienced. I don't think it was a good game for us, but it's learning. They will learn.
That's fair. I mean, I also agree that I don't think I didn't see where they actually embarrassed Cucurella, but I feel like
I watched that game from start to finish. Like, they didn't.
He gave me.
I was just throwing shit, obviously. I'm not a Cucurella fan. He didn't cook.
No, but Olise had a wonderful game. The thing about Olise and people like Yamal, right? Like those guys, right? Lamine can beat you on the run. Olise is so good that he doesn't need to beat you. And that's why, if from a footballing point of view, yes, he actually outsmarted Cucurella. Because Cucurella will press man-to-man. And Olise always took advantage of this.
There are three players that are very much like that. That actually don't need to beat you to do something.
Yeah, he's a very wonderful player. I'm watching him.
Saka and Olise. Saka as well. And Saka doesn't need to beat you. You'll still figure out a way to get that ball in a dangerous place or whatever.
That's why, if anything, I would say he outsmarted Cucurella.
Outplayed him.
Cucurella is always trying to play these stupid mind games, and that's why I don't like his playoff. He will foul you, but then he will dive and just act like you took a knife or something.
Cucurella. Bruno, look there, they're annoying me.
I don't know why he tells people, they will just drag
him. When he started to do that to Olise, and that's why you were saying, the push. That push, that was not a card, and the ref knew they were doing that, they are rubbish the entire game. But yeah, I just liked the way Olise was able to outsmart him, and, you know, he was still, the play, a lot of the ball still flowed through his wing, and he was, able to get the assist, so. But
The thing about Cucurella is, like, Cucurella defends, like, aggressively man-to-man, right?
Yes, and it's very close.
Why when you do a man-to-man, like, everybody has to do it with you. If not, you are always going to leave your own space. So when he does man to press Olise, that's when somebody like Tosin should, literally, not even somebody, Tosin should be pressing up to the person that Olise is trying to pass to, so that everybody goes in a line, or the midfielder that's close to him should be chasing the runner. So they're all pushing him. But the thing is, when you press, Cucurella presses him, he wants to, like, do him. And there's so much space. Olise is like, guy, I don't need to do snake bites. I'll just give the ball there. And your defender is lax. So whoever is running has a free run on goal. So it's just like, it's just a cascading effect of, like, things. That's why I was like, this guy is a wonderful player. He doesn't need to beat you.
Someone I would like to, like, shout out to, man, Harry Kane. Harry Kane is a beautiful footballer, man. I saw an argument
Harry Kane versus Lewandowski, and somebody said Harry Kane is better
than Lewandowski.
That's probably a Daniel Carey comment.
The reason why I say that now is just because, like, I want to see how Harry Kane will retire, but with the way he plays,
Harry Kane
and his play style, I think he will still have the same longevity as Lewandowski. So, see, I can't really say for sure who is better between the two of them.
I think they are different types. The same thing with Hurricane Haaland. I think Lewandowski and Haaland probably finish their careers as better overall goal scorers. They will score more goals. I don't think Hurricane will score as much as Lewandowski overall, but I think as a full-rounded footballer, I think he's better because it offers way more than just goal scoring. This guy is a complete forward. Drop deep, create play, do everything, and still give you those goals as well.
Are you saying Harry Kane is better? Let me know.
Yeah, I prefer Harry Kane too.
Let me know your standing.
Like, yes, personally. But that's my personal bias. I like if Harry Kane type of striker over Lewandowski type of striker.
Are you more Harry Kane or Lewandowski?
I mean, I've always been a fan of Harry Kane. I watch Lewandowski. I don't watch too much of, like, I won't say I watch the most of him. I watched some Champions League game, but I wasn't following Bayern like that. But Harry Kane is someone that I felt was going to solve Arsenal's problems. Obviously, we couldn't. There was no way.
You want civil war in London.
Tottenham Ball was like, bro, I don't care what you need to do. Get Harry Kane to Arsenal and you are going to make things happen. But
I think that's Daniel Levi's, like, one of his biggest legacies were, like, not letting some of their talent, they failed with Berbatov, but, like, one of his biggest legacies was not to let three key gems in his...
Was Campbell there when... Was Levy there?
Yeah, he was.
Campbell is huge.
Levi was 2000 or 2001. also.
Yeah, so Campbell, let's see.
And I guess that's probably what made him what he like to become that way, right?
Never.
Like three players that he had let go, right? They would have been like Premier League legends for other clubs. Was Modric to Chelsea, Gareth Bale to anybody, and Harry Kane to anybody too. Mm. Like anywhere that those guys would have gone, they would have dunked on Tottenham's head like many times. And he knew it, and he said, "Not on my over my dead body." That's that's one of his biggest legacies. Like,
let him go to Man City.
If Harry Kane had gone to Man U, at least they would have finished second twice, more than twice. Maybe not the league, maybe the league. Who knows?
At this point, I feel like Man U can ruin any player's legacy at this point.
They would have ruined Harry Kane. They would have still been trash. They could have still finished because Harry Kane was still scoring when Tottenham was still trash. So,
he'll get 20 goals, bro.
He will still get his 20, whether they like, may they finish 11th or 10th.
So, who are you picking? Do you, Harry Kane or Lewandowski?
I'm picking Lewandowski. That's not even a question for me. Mm-hmm. At Lewandowski's peak, he was the best player in the world. Like in 2020, when they banned the one tournament, that the one trophy that they removed, they were so out of everything else. That's the year you people chose to off it, right? That's when
I think at Benzema's peak was the best player in the world too.
If your peak is to be the best player in the world, right? Best player, not goal scorer, best player. That instantly elevates you more in my eyes.
There's context though. Like
I don't agree with that. The context is always this context thing is what has allowed this Messi Ronaldo argument, right? And it always gives too much grace to players that could have won the Ballon d'Or the other year. It was in the Messi Ronaldo era, nobody was winning. Nah, lie. Modric still won Ballon d'Or. In the Messi Ronaldo era, this person did not win. And then it's a lie. That's my own personal bias, right?
I don't think
we know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
That's probably a different argument for another day. But at Lewandowski's peak, he was the best player in the world. At Harry Kane's peak, he is not the best player in the world. How has Harry Kane been top five in the world before?
I'm saying he's arguably right now.
Arguably, that's the same thing that happened last season when he was scoring Bayern.
How could he have won it
when he had not reached top five?
He outscored everybody, dude.
Do you know how bad it is? Haaland outscored everybody and entered top three Ballon d'Or conversations. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Harry Kane has outscored everybody, still no entering. What are you talking about?
Because Haaland won the treble.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, his goals are not holding
it. I think part of Kane's issue for the longest year was just the team he was playing in. Like, yes, what best player, but we're not nominating no best player from Tottenham. Like, what do you think you're saying? No best player is coming out of Tottenham, bro.
In Gareth Bale's peak, he was the best player in the league, and he was in Ballon d'Or conversations.
No, but he didn't do
it. Win?
I didn't say win. No. I said conversations. Wait. I didn't say win. We're not mad here. It's Tottenham. Yeah. It's Tottenham. It's the Tottenham. I said conversation, relax. I know you people's Arsenal gear.
You will say Harry Kane is not in the conversation. He has been in the conversation.
Harry Kane has not at no point.
He's been in the top.
He's been in the conversation.
Like this thing five. For Ballon d'Or now.
Top five.
I honestly think part of
where?
In their ranking of possible.
Now, in which year has Harry Kane been top five in
last
the world?
Last season, he was amongst
top five.
Salah, Lamine Yamal, Rafinha. He was there. At least
top five.
At least top ten. Yes.
At least top ten. Come on. Top ten is for every great striker.
I'm pretty sure,
Lewandowski to Drogba to Aguero to Rooney.
I'm pretty sure he was top five, but at least maybe like six.
I don't agree. I'm not. I need to see it.
Go check him. He's up there.
I need to see it. Harry Kane top five. Where?
You know that Opta Index thing.
They know they do Opta Index user award, brother. They do actual Ballon d'Or has a website. They know they use Opta Index.
So, I mean, in terms of like likeliest to win it, that's the.
We know they do likeliest. If they're likeliest, how many times Arsenal have been likeliest to win the league? We know they.
With the conversation now.
They go.
But anyway, though, that guy will finish as one of the best strikers in his era for sure. Like,
sure.
But Lewandowski is up there too.
He's better. What are you talking about?
Lewandowski
won the best FIFA player in 2020. What are you talking about? Is up there?
I don't think Lewandowski is objectively better. But
I know Lewandowski is objectively better. I know, and I have the stats. I have the physical evidence to prove it. You say he's up there, but Harry Kane is not the smoke.
No. I know.
Harry
Kane is up there. Lewandowski is up there.
Lewandowski is upper there than Harry
Kane. Suarez is up there. They are all up there. I go pass all of them.
So guys, how far this penalty incident that happened this Champions League?
That was a good conversation.
That thing was not a penalty. Don't I go find a referee?
I'm more soft on it now because I just remembered. But at the end of the night, I now remembered so Champions League is notorious for doing these handball things, and it's not even this season. Right. Mm-hmm. And I know Madrid Ojuru is a thing, but I just remember that the Champions League, they are more like there's a way as Premier League fans, we started seeing the handball rule. Like, we know when it's going to be almost, not all the time, but like you can see, like, the Premier League from the commentary, like the commentator is talking to it, that's definitely not going to be given. Like, that's not a handball. Like, you know, he hits his leg or hit his body part before he hit his hand. Or his hand is too close to his body. Like, that conversation, we're so used to it that we think that is the conversation across all top five leagues. But it isn't, right? And I went back and I remember, like, looked at a bunch of games last season. There were so many, like, stupid handballs that were just coming from nowhere. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is actually a Europe thing, right? They are less lenient or less understanding to handballs or this thing than the Premier League that we're used to watching. Premier League, you jump, right? Your hand is by your side. It hits your hand like this, gong, like this. Like, the ball will roll like on your hand like this, roll up like this. But as long as your hand is, like, close to your body, there's always an argument and they will let it go. But in the Champions League, nah.
Madrid was yesterday, right?
Yeah. Unless...
They came today. They had that same situation. They didn't give it.
No, it wasn't the same thing. The one yesterday... The one today,
I think the one you were even talking about, was it the Juve one that you said was worse? I think the Madrid one was worse.
No. I know. The one that happened, the two that happened yesterday was the Dortmund and Juve thing. The one that happened today was a shot. I think it was a handball that VAR, I think VAR called him to review it or something. I can't even remember what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember. But Shasha, technically, like, I wasn't surprised that they called that as handball. And that's why I'm more on the side that I agree with the call. Because the reason why I agree with the call is things like this makes it more clear. Like, I understand when we are saying, intense, we are saying natural position, all these things. But one thing we need to know is these guys are professional players. And I refed like a lot of amateur games, Sunday league games, and even in those levels, you still see how players try to win all these, you know, gain an advantage to some level, and even doing it to your hand is the same fact for sure. So anytime I see all those offenses happen, I really look at the player like, is there any advantage that this player was looking to gain? In that situation, that guy's arm could have been removed. Is what me I'm saying. Because when you look at the way he slid, yes, there's the argument of supporting arm. If it was a supporting arm, definitely gamble. I won't expect you to knock your head on the floor. If your head is going to hit the floor, yes, you support yourself. And if the ball touches your arm that is on the floor, yes.
But he was falling. How was he going to support himself?
I don't see the advantage he was getting.
I don't think, yeah, I hear you, right? I agree with you. But for this part, so for me, right, I'm like, I said, I was more sympathetic to when you called it out, right? And I started thinking about, it's true. That's a penalty, right? If we able to remove the Madrid Ujiro, that always happens, right? That's a European penalty, right? But I don't agree with it at all.
Yes, it's not about agreeing with it. Me, I think handballs in those situations.
No, it's different thing, though. I think, if you're trying to get an advantage, I agree with you. If you make yourself bigger, I agree with you. But in that specific situation, I don't see how any of these things actually come in play, because he was not really looking.
This is how it comes into play, because when the guy slid in for the ball, right, he bounced off of his leg, hits Vinny's leg back, and the ball was rolling away from both of them. Yes. In that situation, if you see the replay, bro, his arm, that left arm didn't have to be there. And if anything, even if the ball hits your arm incidentally, or you were showing any effort to make yourself smaller, which is what happened in the game that happened today, where they shot the ball against, I think it was against the Barca player or something like that, but he was trying to make himself smaller. And that's why the ball, and there was really no other place. Like, the ball just hit his arm, and his arm was like attached to his body.
Oh, by the way, so, Harry Kane was not in any top five. I just said, let me let you know, there was no top five they put Harry Kane inside. Not it? Last year, and not in these power rankings that they did this year.
You mean the Ballon d'Or?
Yeah, there's no Harry Kane anywhere. I'm just letting you people know. There's Harry Kane in day one. Anyways, continue back with the referee. I just want to let me let you know.
Okay, I want something to do. But what does the ball was going away from both of them? I don't see any benefit of putting his hand there.
I don't at all.
It's for him to gain control of the ball. Now, it's him that went in for the tackle. The ball is in a dangerous position. It's within his box. If the ball ricocheted and bounced to the center of the pitch, it could have hit any Madrid player and boom, it's another goal. So
he was going out from here and Vinny. He brought the ball closer to Vinny self.
I don't think... I'm not seeing it at all. I won't lie. The thing is that your point is holding weight, Okpe, right? Your point... Hello?
Oh, sorry. I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Oh, okay. Yeah, your point holds a lot of weight, and I 100% agree with your point. Though the point is not translated to that particular incident at all. I don't see what advantage he was going to gain or trying to gain. Like,
okay, look at that picture that I posted in the chat, right? So when Vinny, I posted it previously. You might have to scroll up. If you look at the ball was rolling back, and it was probably not in the path of Brahim Diaz that was running behind Vinny. But, as a defender, even like just in soccer, when you're clearing the ball, they tell you don't clear it to the middle. The way Vinny cut back, that ball was going to a prime. That is one of the prime positions for any attacker. If that ball mistakenly falls on any Madrid attacker leg in that position, in that box, it's going to be a goal. And that's why
the ball was not going to any attacker. It was going to their defender.
No, but he didn't know that. That's what I'm saying. The defender didn't know that. So in that situation, he's trying to control the ball for himself.
But his hand didn't move in a way like he was actually gather the ball. It just looked like he just fell and the ball hit him. It didn't look like he was trying to make himself bigger with the arm.
Fell and all this kind of thing is that. These guys are professional soccer players. When they are going in for a slide tackle, this is not their first slide tackle. And if it's your first slide tackle when you're a professional, you don't know what you're doing. Going to be going in for that kind of tackle, you are going in with intent. It's a slide tackle in the box. You should know where your hands are.
But the court of public opinion is like, this thing is Ojoro. Everybody is tweeting it. Everybody is saying it that is Ojoro.
Not everybody.
I've not seen any defenders. I've not seen any other player than
Madrid
player. How will you land now? Like, because he's sliding, like, he goes, keep his hand close to his body.
And that's exactly what I'm saying. That's the defense that some people are making. That trailer supporting arm. His supporting arm is the right one, clearly, in this situation. His left arm doesn't need to be all the way here. If you are sliding and your supporting arm is your right arm, your left arm can be close to your body. Because it's not doing anything, it's not supporting anything up here. The supporting arm was the right one that was already on the floor. So if the
ball, I agree with that one. Yes, the supporting arm was the right one. But okay, where does he put the, if he's using his right hand to land, exactly, right? Where does he put the left hand?
The left hand can rest on his body now. Why is the left arm up here?
How do you, so you slide like this?
No,
you don't slide like this. You don't do like this.
Me, I know good. It demonstrates light tackle from here.
No. But the law is not for you. The law does not say you should make yourself smaller. It is if your body is long. Like, the law does not say put your hands behind your back. Players just do it so that there's no like ambiguity, right?
Even a lot of defenders don't like that thing.
Yeah, they don't. The law doesn't say you have to put your hand behind your back. It just has to
be. But is it the same thing?
So if he's falling down and if you fall down and your hand is support, how does the, like, if it's different if he's doing like this, right? But his hand is low and it's like this.
Does like this?
Like, yeah, it's different as if he's like this, but his hand is low and by his side. I honestly don't know other than him putting it directly on his body. But that's like saying that anytime you don't put your hand behind your back is a penalty and it touches your hand. And that's not the law at all. I agree with you, right?
And
you made a very good point. That's not a supporting hand. That's a very good point. That was not a supporting hand. I agree, right? But in where he's supposed to put the left hand is what is befuddling me. Like, he's not doing like this. It's not outstretched. It's right by his side. There's no other place to put the hand.
It's not right by his side. It's away from him. If it's beside him, that ball will not touch the hand. It will run away. He used his hand to catch that ball. Let me put it like, I don't care, bro. Because the other thing is, and that is the thing that they were saying with the whole put your arm behind, like when they are shooting or when people are shooting, like, or if you are trying to go in for that kind of tackle. Bro, you're a defender. This is not the first time. And that's why me, I just, like, when it gets to all these professional settings, a lot of times this game moves so fast. These guys do tricks so quickly that sometimes, even when they pause it and they put the replay, guy, you cannot tell the full story because these guys are moving so quick and they can try to gain advantage in any way. And in that situation, when I watched that play live, it seemed that he had lost because if you go in for that tackle well and you slide that ball out, it should be nowhere near your arm in the first situation.
So you're saying that he should be penalized for a penalty because he did not slide well.
No, I'm not saying he should be penalized, but if you choose to go to the ground and put your arms in situation, if you choose to go in for a 50-50 header in the box, and your arm is, you know, the person is way taller than you, that you have to be swimming everywhere, and the person should hit the ball. If the ball is go bound and it hits your arm, it's a penalty, bro. Like, whether or not you were doing a natural action.
The thing that gave me peace was when there was a season when Osimhen was still there and Cruz was still in Madrid, that they gave a penalty for Nacho. Or so, like, he was sliding, he slid and his hand was like this, right? And they, yeah, that one I agree. But when that one I agree. So that's why I was like, you know what, this thing is a European thing. Like, you see, it happens in Europe.
Premier League, to block the space. If you try to, who send you to put your head there? If you're a professional, you do your head like this. If you cannot do your head like this, don't go and use your hands to block your face and do like this.
See, that's fair. That's fair, right? That's what gave me peace. Like, I've seen this thing happen in Europe all the time. But for me, the guy is sliding, supporting hand. His hand is like this, like by his side, like this, right? The only criticism is that it's not like this. It's not tucked in. And I don't think it has to be. That's why I'm like, ah.
See, my own is, if he made an action towards the ball, I'll be like, okay. But if the ball came and meets his hand like that, Omo, I feel like it's just wrong.
Handball no go happen. If ball no reach your hand now. You go come.
Another thing is, if that situation happened outside the box, if somebody should slide outside the box and it should roll on your hand, would you call it a foul? Would you just blow it as a foul? Forget yellow card, forget this thing. If you just try to slide, and let's say you are in midfield, Pedri is dribbling, Valverde come and slide Pedri. But even in the slide, Pedri now dribbling small. But Valverde's trailing arm touched the ball small in midfield. Would that be a foul or not?
I won't put it as a foul if you slide and you're trailing and touch the ball.
And they dribble you and the ball goes away from you. The ball is not... You will call it as a foul now. Why won't you call that as a foul?
I didn't understand what you said. So you're saying the training arm.
Not a foul, a handball. I think it's a handball.
It's a handball. That's what I'm saying. Well, not a foul.
If you blow it as a handball, then you should probably...
Yeah, because it takes away the attacker's advantage. I see that.
Yes, but in that situation, blow it outside of the box, it's strict. And that was my whole thing with this, is that it's strict, yes, it's unfair. And so if you didn't catch it... Which one?
Okay, that one that happened outside the box, I won't give... This one that happened outside the box, I will not give it as a foul. Because the guy's hand is not really doing anything.
I would give it as a foul.
I wouldn't.
I made my peace with this thing when I went back and I watched like a bunch of like handballs. I was like, there are some worse ones than this one. This one is not even the worst.
I'm saying this is not surprising. This one, he touches hand.
The point of handball historically is when they cross something, someone will jump and use their hand and...
Another question.
I think I can give up this one. One last question
before I drop it. I know Sam has agreed, but Chidalu, you know that guy. So if a player...
I agreed yesterday night when I saw a lot of criminology happening. I was like,
what I was saying was, if the opposite happened in that the defender was the one holding the ball in the penalty box, Vinny slid in, you know, the ball ricocheted, bounce, touch Vinny hands more, he's supporting Amu and rolled inside the net. Would they give the goal or not?
It has given Vinny.
Yeah, but the law of handball is like, the law is like, if it touches your hand at all to lead to a goal.
Yeah, to lead to something positive for you. Yeah, that's the foul.
Yeah, that's the law.
That is the law. So if that is the law, let's just...
I think a better example that you're trying to make is if the ball hits Vinny's hand, right, and it leads to an assist, or like it touches and then it goes to Mbappe and he taps it in, would the goal be given or not?
I don't mind if the ball, but I'm saying in this situation though, it just hit the guy's hand. Yes,
he touches hand, but he touches hand. The only thing that we hear is if the body not touches hand. But as long as he touches hand, whether his hand is in heaven or his hand is on this earth,
if he touches his hand and his hand is like tucked into his body, will you give it as a
penalty? That one is not a penalty. Obviously, if it's by his body, it's not going to be called. They will have definitely overruled that.
I think all these examples are unnecessary, to be honest, because if my hand is normal and it hits my hand and anything happens, I don't care. As long as I'm not, because the main point of handball is people trying to use their hands to make themselves bigger. If your hand is in a normal place, I don't see why any of these things should be cancelled. Why should be a foul?
Every time. Sometimes it happens as a mistake, but they still blow it as a penalty.
Because you cannot gauge, you can't gauge intent. You can't gauge
it.
Yeah, but I'm saying if it's not, that's why. See, I can still say this specific one that happened yesterday, though. That one, the intent clearly looked like he was not trying to do anything. That one should not be a penalty. But there are some that are more in the middle.
No, but you don't know his intent, though. We don't know whether
he's like.
You can't say it doesn't look like he wanted to. You don't know. We don't know
if that guy was trying to catch the ball now. Don't touch the ball.
I'm saying.
See, no worry, we'll go there yet tomorrow.
His arm was there.
Okay. I've let it go.
See, to me, if he makes a movement, my personal journey if on he this makes thing, a movement, whether natural or unnatural, and he hits this thing, and he and the ball comes in connection, I agree. But if his hand does stay there by inside, like, what? Nah, bro. I know it's a great area. Handball is.
I've been looking at this video slow-mo, like from beginning to end.
I think it was by his side.
It actually wasn't by his side. Actually, it was
not
really
by his
funny.
Side. It wasn't even. It was reason.
It was a bit raised.
It was a bit, and as long as it's not on your body.
Me, I've given Okpe this one. Okpe can collect this one. I've given him this one.
He has Okpe, collect him. Collect him.
Okpe, collect this one.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm not convinced, but Okpe can do that. But yeah, let's do our last conversation. Their Arsenal game.
All
right. The Arsenal game. Ope, how do you feel? How do you feel about the game?
Honestly, I think the game was a good game. Arteta made the subs earlier in this game. You know, maybe if he made the subs during that Liverpool game, it would have been a different situation. But you know, I saw a lot of fans talking about like, oh, Arteta bought Eze, making him play defensive, or oh, why did you buy Eze and we still didn't score? And we still needed to rely on our like older guys to score, like Trossard and Nelly. And I'm like, that is the whole point of having this number of players, in that you don't need to rely on one person. And that's one thing why me, I didn't understand, because beautiful subs, the two subs combined in the two situations at that point, we had control of the game. And even before then, it's not like we didn't have control of the game. We're creating chances. It's just that I think this team is still technically new, because there have been a lot of changes in the team technically. Like Madueke, Eze, Gyökeres, like even that midfield is Merino that started this time. Odegaard wasn't there too. So it's like, it's still a team that is learning and developing. And in a Champions League game, and we are still able to win this comfortably. I take the win, man. They didn't score us. We scored more goals. Like, I don't see why people are complaining about this win at all. Like, it's just like they are looking for stuff to complain about. But yeah.
I think the entire Arsenal fan base are just a large, especially on Twitter, just a basically group of perennial sadists at this point. They just like suffering. I don't understand it. Like, always something to complain about. I don't get the obsession with always trying to find nitpick or find something to cry about. If it's not Odegaard, is Eze. If it's not Eze, it's Madueke. If it's not Madueke, it's Arteta. It's whether win or lose. I don't block plenty of them for that tweet itself. But I know I was saying something about even Eze being on the funny thing, they just take a picture of a clip and post and say, see Eze always been on the wings. He should be in the middle. I'm like, did you actually watch the match, bro? There are so many times this guy kept inverting his side anyway. So why are you trying to just take a screenshot of something to mislead everybody? I saw every time he and Calafiori kept interchanging. Sometimes Calafiori go wide, he may enter. He'll go wide, Calafiori enter. Like, that's just football. It happens.
I'm curious to see how he's better centrally,
but he's also very effective on the
wing. Who's better centrally?
I think Eze is better centrally in like cutting inside, but I mean, I've seen him be effective on the flanks as well. Now he's from the flank that he assisted Gyökeres. So they will keep interchanging. It's normal. He's not the kind of player you just stick one place and keep him there.
The interesting thing that me have for Arsenal is the fact of, it's not even more about Eze. It's Gyökeres that I'm looking at, because now, the two different occasions that they've subbed him on in the 60th minute. And it's like, I thought I was buying this guy, you know. I mean, I guess maybe that is more to Arteta. Arteta has a lot of different tactics that he's going to try to implement with all these players. Because I would have thought Gyökeres will be playing. Eh?
What did you say? He didn't have a summer. You remember, he didn't have a summer.
Yes, but he has played like 5 games already.
Yes. Yeah, it takes time now. This guy missed the entire preseason, was not training, whatever. And then
the same thing with Isak, and Isak came out for blood. I mean, he didn't score, but like Isak looked sharp, and Isak, this is his first game for this thing that he started, and he looked sharp. Mm-hmm. And the other guys have started like 2 games. I'm not shitting on him. I'm just curious to see if this is something that will continue. If Gyökeres will be more of everybody's rotation guy, and maybe it's only Odegaard that is secure on the team. Because I need to know for my FPL.
What's the take?
You know, everybody right now is a rotation guy. I thought Gyökeres was going to be like you know, day, week in, week out, your girls will get at least 70, 80 minutes plus, if not 90 minutes in most weeks. But now it seems like...
Who came in for him?
Trossard came in for him. Trossard played false nine.
Yeah, we have a striker, bro. They will not remove freaking Haaland for Trossard. Like, that's just what me I'm saying. Like, he's like
City. I don't think Trossard had a goal and assist now.
Who?
Trossard had a goal and assist.
No. I'm not sure.
I don't think what they're complaining about the fact that
I don't think Gyökeres is fully fit yet. Maybe that's why he's not completing games.
Oh, I think he's fully fit.
I don't know.
Yeah, 110% fully.
Also, fit. This guy got it.
Maybe he has not adapted fully.
You know, he bled.
They fit, bro. How many games you guys play to fit? Like, look
he's
at
fit.
That guy.
I think he's definitely fit.
Like,
whatever it is, though. I mean, and also he was having a good game, to be fair, which is why a lot of people are complaining when they subbed him out. But I'm sure Ateta saw something. That's why they subbed him out.
They subbed him and easy. I mean, no shade to them. They scored. So I'm not throwing shade on them or anything. I'm just curious to see, at least for my own concern, like to see
what I don't think it's fitness. He played 90 minutes for Sweden, Seth.
Right.
Yeah, maybe it's not fitness, but
it's not fitness. Maybe, I don't think it's fitness. I think it's just like
tactical thing as well.
I think it's tactical, and I think he's just still finding his feet. But it's not. I don't think it's fitness at all.
Yeah. He wasn't. He didn't play badly, Sha, even if he didn't score. But the person that probably didn't have his best game was Eze.
Eze theory, right?
It's Eze's first game in the Champions League in his career, so I'll also give him that.
There's a problem, right, that Crystal Palace fans used to have with Eze, right? There's like, it was the Olise Eze conundrum, right? Like, when Olise is on the pitch, you will know. Like, he will make sure you know, for better or for worse. Like, he will always demand the ball. Things go through him. I mean, I've explained it in the Bayern-Chelsea analysis, right? The problem with Eze and Crystal Palace fans have with Eze, or had, right, is that he doesn't do that enough. Like, he, for some reason, he's comfortable, like, letting the game pass him. Like, he's a bit too passive in that aspect. Like, he's comfortable just... It takes him a lot... Like, okay, when Eze left the team, it was very, very clear that this is... Or in theory, should be his team, right? The Crystal Palace team, everything should flow through him, right? Mm-hmm. But still, right, other people were, like, taking the shine because he wasn't, like, as demanding. Munoz to Mateta to even when Adam Watson came, right? And this is not even me. This is not me cooking this. This is, like, Crystal Palace, like, TikTok and Twitter, like, I've been seeing that they used to, like... They really used to hate that Eze didn't... Up until later on in the season, right? Obviously, he...
I would say he does do that in a lot of games. Maybe not every game. I know there are some games...
No, but he doesn't... So, their problem with that is that he doesn't do that enough. And I think for Arsenal, it will take... That's my own thing. I think he's going to take a while before he starts, like... demanding that this ball must go through him and stuff like that. I don't know if you do. This is not me. This is like,
the games I watched, I felt Cristobal was Eze's team before even Olise came to the limelight.
Yeah, but how can he come in and then now it became Olise's team? Are you not seeing the problem?
It was Eze.
Are you not seeing the problem? It wasn't Eze's team. It was clearly Olise's team.
I never thought it was ever just.
I don't think it was clearly Olise's team, because I think it was more Eze and Olise. Previously, I would have said it was even more of Eze and Olise's team.
It's more of Eze's team initially.
But at some point, I was thinking, how would he fare after Olise left? But it looks like they did better. Technically, I'm not saying like it was because Olise left that they won or whatnot. But after Olise left, that's when, I mean, Crystal Palace was good then. They were still very threatening then. But it's like, they went to another level after Olise left. Bro, they won Man City in this thing. They won Liverpool in FA Cup.
They were still 12th. They didn't move anywhere.
They won a trophy now. First trophy ever.
They want to.
And two trophies. And the people that they beat City and Liverpool, those are big teams. Those are teams that typically Liverpool was not, like, Crystal Palace was not going to just take on, like, even with Olisede. So
Sam said, games I've seen him play, especially against like mid teams where he just lets the game pass through him. I've seen that many times. I've also seen him like step up a lot, especially in like harder games, like against Liverpool, against even against Arsenal. He always like, I think he always gets really up for it when it's a very big game with Crystal Palace. But I've seen there's one match I watched against, I think it was Villa. Like I was expecting, just trying to watch him specifically. But I know Siam, I'm not gonna lie. But I know I think he picks and chooses when to step up, what I've seen. But the whole Ezeo is a steam thing. I mean, I never really saw it as also with a steam shot. I kind of just
nobody sees it. Saying that it was more only saying that it was only steam is a bit overwhelming, yeah. Right? It wasn't a stretch. I don't even know. I don't have the numbers here, right? But between him and Olise, right, the ball, like the technical leader of the team, which was, and this is no shade to Eze, it was actually Olise that the ball went to the most. Like, he was overwhelming him. Not overwhelming him, he was superseding him. Overwhelming means, like, there was no Eze, no. Eze was still doing his own thing. There was a lot of complaining from Crystal Palace fans when Eze left and Olise left that, okay, now it's Eze's team. But it wasn't. You play FPL, guy. How many points was Eze giving you? Like,
No. But
Eze was not giving as much points as Iwobi.
No, bro. There were times because Eze was on pens too. Remember, even when Olise was there, it was at a point that Mateta started taking pens. Eze used to take pens.
Why was that?
Because Eze got injured. Eze got injured at some point, and that's probably another reason. Why he was not a good FPL asset, because most guys probably sold him when he got injured. That's another thing. He came back from injury.
When he came back, it was Mateta taking the pens.
Yes, because Mateta already scored like 3 pens already while Eze was away. If a striker is there and a striker scored a pen, they will not just go and remove it and give it back to Eze now.
So now, wait. I don't understand. So now with Arsenal, right? Gyökeres scoring pens. Who is your official pen taker? Is it Gyökeres?
Gyökeres. Yes.
He was.
Saka that was taking pen before. If Saka comes back, it's Gyökeres that will take pen now.
If Saka comes back, it's going to be Gyökeres that will take the pen, not Saka.
I strongly believe so that it's Gyökeres that will take that pen, bro. He's the striker and he's your bags man, and he has already scored his pens. Why would you switch it from him?
The same bags man that we have with Osimhen that is through Echo taking our penalties.
Yeah, that is awesome, man. Yeah, Osimhen versus Tristecon, that is their business. My
point is that I think it will take Eze a while, but obviously he eventually will
get. He's not going to be the star man, bro. Saka is.
Why would he not be the star man?
They bought Odegaard. Zubimendi is stepping up to. Like, Zubimendi, even Muscara looks like our star man, honestly.
We have Saka.
Wait. You said Zubimendi won't be a star man. This guy just scored 2 goals, bro.
Because Zubimendi has been known for his goal scoring.
Are you guys tripping? Saka plays for Arsenal, right?
Just saying is, those goals that Zubimendi scored are not... Let's put some respect on those goals, bro. Scoring a volley from a corner. Come on now.
The keeper was onside, boss.
Sorry,
deflected. It was a wicked deflection. Like there was one.
Yeah, like what are we talking about? Is the header that is even the better chance?
That's what I'm saying. Those are like nice goals. Those are not just fluke goals, bro. Like. Let's not disrespect.
I like Zubimendi.
I'll put them in the same category as Rice's free kick.
So what?
I'll put them at those goals in the same category as Rice's free kick.
Yeah.
I don't know. Right, Champions League free kick was. I don't even know how that's not in goal of the world.
My point is that I
watching that match in today's house. We're watching it. The first one ends in wow, great goal.
But that second one.
We're sitting with the game. So he said, "See this one. He thinks he's going to score again." You now score again, like, hey!
That was it, bro. That's how I felt when Zubimendi scored. How many times did Zubimendi score? Yeah, that's
like, yeah. That was first goal in this game. He doesn't score like that. Yeah.
So, but anyway, I am most excited about that Mosquera guy, dude. Like, he's unbelievably good. I didn't think he was this good.
More pressure on Mosquera, I think.
That is too funny because when he now plays one,
these proper people, you'll say he's young. That's what I'm saying. He's playing well.
I'm not amongst those ones. Like Udumudu Black, I say better than Saliba. That's just that.
That's Saliba. It's not that one. That
Udumudu guy doesn't know ball. Like,
he does not know ball.
That guy, what did he even say? One thing he said in one interview recently.
He's always capping.
Then I ain't bring out Declan Rice now. He said nobody knew Declan Rice before him. See, after his dig for Declan Rice.
As a Chelsea fan, how did I not know Declan Rice? We had Chelsea fans had civil war of Declan Rice before the Arsenal team itself. Like, Chelsea fans were having serious civil war. Like, they wanted a midfield of Gallagher, Declan Rice, and Mason Mount. Like, Brexit
English boys.
Even before the whole Arsenal.
Rice has seemed a little bit suspect recently. I don't know what's happening.
Rice has always been the same to me. It's just these two goals now. He will not enter team of the year. He will do all this thing, make tackle. Just
against United, he seemed a little bit off the pace. Even like today. That's why
his ball playing from deep is not good.
I'm saying even what he's good at, like
driving
the ball or showing up at the right moment, like intercept and everything. He doesn't seem as sharp. He didn't seem as sharp against United. He didn't seem that sharp yesterday as well. So
yeah, that United game. United game. Obviously, they played better than us. So I don't think. I said that United game. They obviously played way better than us then. So I'm not shitting on Rice, but. Curious to see how United will fare. Never mind. No, we'll just wrap up.
Did you ask the question about the Champions League game of the week and most impressive performance?
The last one. But would I say we are almost out of time? But anyway,
I was like, did you ask the question about the best UCL game of the week?
I haven't. Like, let's close up. What's your best goal of the week? I would say. My best goal is simple. Let me go first. My best goal is this guy's goal.
Mine is Kvaratskhelia versus Atalanta.
Kvaratskhelia versus Atalanta. That was a mad goal. But mine was the Juventus game.
Juve's
this guy.
Yildiz.
Yildiz goal was my best goal.
Can you guys
followed by Doku's goal.
Today's goal, Doku's goal, right? Doku.
Yeah. What was yours?
Yeah.
Do you hear me?
Okay. Hello.
Yeah, okay, hear you now.
Okay.
Yeah.
My own.
No, Rashford?
You're mute, Doku. Hello?
Team of person is Rashford. Anyway, though, it was nice. It was nice having the conversation, guys.
No problem. This was good.
Next weekend
is coming, so
yeah, probably maybe next week Monday or next week Tuesday.
Okay, that was good.
All right, now bet.
All right, have a good one.
Peace.